Okay, God bless everyone. I'd just like to introduce my wife, Kim. We just had a fantastic time in Norway, and she's going to share the fellowship sharing tonight. So God bless you all.
So God bless you all in the powerful name of Jesus Christ, and it's a real honour and a privilege to be able to share the Word of God again tonight. As you know, we were in Norway over the weekend, and Lawrence done his seminar on the power of faith-filled words. It was just so tremendously awesome. The blessings of deliverance, the blessings of healings, and the great fellowship. I especially want to say thank you to the believers of Norway, to Carl Morten and Britt for putting us up, and their hospitality and the wonderful food, to Siri and to Knut and to Ida and Ryder and to all the other believers of Norway. They are a great family of God. They all work together well. They encourage one another. They have great hearts. And it was a real, real special time. I managed to share on session 7. And that was awesome. It was death and life are in the power of the tongue. It's a verse of scripture that has touched my life tremendously. And I wanted to go back over a couple of the scriptures with you tonight, but also to add some others in as well. I think it's good that we stay on the topic of faith because, you know, we can't do anything in our own strength. And the only thing that pleases God is that we walk by faith, that we had the faith when we got born again. We confessed with our mouth the Lord Jesus. We believed faith. We had faith in our hearts that God raised Jesus Christ from the dead and we were saved, made whole, having eternal life. And it's not hard. God made it very simple. You just confess with your mouth. Romans 10, 9 and 10. But if you take your Bibles and you go to Hebrews, because that's the best place to start, and I'm going to very quickly, you might just want a pen, you may not have time to flick through them all, but I'm just going to very quickly, just briefly go over the words faith. So in chapter 11 of Hebrews and in verse 1, it says, "Now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen." And verse 2 really blesses me because it says, "For by it the elders obtained a good report." So that shows you that the elders within this chapter were living by faith. And signs, miracles and wonders were really following them because they had a good report. People had good things to say about them because they could see that faith in operation. In verse 4 it says, "By faith Abel offered unto God a more excellent sacrifice." Verse 5, "By faith Enoch was translated that he should not see death." Verse 7, "By faith," now this one always blows me away, "Noah, being warned of God of things not seen as yet, moved with fear or respect, prepared an ark to the saving of his house." You know, if we started to build an ark in our garden today, people would think we were absolutely crazy. You know, it wasn't just a small little boat this guy was building. You know, it took years, and he just painstakingly, day after day after day after day, he worked on this thing. And I can imagine my neighbours, like, over the fields looking over at me saying, "Have you seen those nutty people over there? You know, they're building this boat. There's no water around us. I think the nearest water is probably about 20 miles away. However are they going to get that to the ocean?" But see, this is what faith is. It's something that Noah couldn't see, but God impressed it on his heart. Now, did he stand and question God? Did he stand and think it over for a few days? I don't know, but I do know the outcome was that he built it. You know, I get thoughts from God and I sort of try and run it over in my brain. Should I really do this? Is this from you, God? You know, and I'm looking for clarification sometimes. But this guy, he obviously didn't need much clarification, Noah, because he just started building it. And it wasn't small, as it tells you in the Old Testament, gives you exactly the sizes and the dimensions. And it was huge. But it says in verse 7, "But faith, by faith Noah built the ark." Verse 8, "By faith Abraham." Verse 9, "By faith Verse 11, through faith, also Sarah herself received strength to conceive seed. And then we carry on down, and it says in verse 17, again, by faith, Abraham offered up his son. And as we go down, it says, verse 20, by faith, Isaac blessed Jacob. Verse 21, by faith, Jacob, when he was a dying, he blessed both the sons of Joseph and worshipped, leaning upon the top of his staff. Verse 22, by faith, Joseph. Verse 23, by faith, Moses. Again, verse 24, by faith, Moses. So as you carry on reading down through, it tells you that all these guys had great faith. And with that great faith came a good report. People had good things to say about them. People knew that these guys were trusting in the living God. In verse 27, it says, by faith he forsook Egypt. Verse 28, through faith he kept the Passover. Verse 29, by faith they passed through the Red Sea. Verse 30, by faith the walls of Jericho fell down. That's an awesome story too, if you want to read it. Verse 31, by the faith the harlot Rahab perished, not with them, but believed not, when she had received the spies with peace. Again, verse 33, who through faith subdued kingdoms. Verse 35, women received their dead, raised to life again. That took faith. And I want to finish off here in verse 39. And these all, having obtained a good report through faith, and they hadn't even received the promise. Verse 40, God having provided some better thing for us, that they without us should not be made perfect. You know, we can't be made perfect in love if we're not walking in faith. It's the faith that Jesus Christ had when we were talking about it in the class, actually. Well, I talked about it when the woman with the that they wanted to stone to death. And Jesus Christ doodled in the sand. Now, again, we don't always have to have an answer for every man instantly. You know, sometimes we need to pray about situations, or sometimes we need to ask God for the answer. And we know that Jesus Christ was waiting to hear from God, because all those guys that wanted to stone her to death, they were actually guilty of the same thing. So really, they didn't have a right. And that's why God showed it to Jesus Christ. And he said, he that is without sin, sin of this nature, in other words, you know, committing adultery, then he can cast the first stone. And not one of them could do it. Jesus Christ could have done it, but that wasn't his heart. He was telling these other guys. And on that note, this session 7 was called Death and Life are in the Power of the Tongue. And I have a testimony that I shared in Norway, and I'll reiterate it now, that going back quite a few years ago, I was diagnosed with cancer. And it was a very serious cancer, and there was only two of us in the whole of the United Kingdom. And I'd had a lump, and the doctors took biopsies. I was in hospital for about 6 weeks. And he said, because of your age, I was only in my 30s, he said, because of your age, you know, we really don't believe this is cancer. We think it's benign, but we're going to take some biopsies. And they did that. And because I was in hospital for so long, they allowed me home one weekend after about 6 weeks. And I spent the weekend at home with the Lawrence and the children. And the weekend went so fast, and Lawrence was so exhausted through travelling up and down to the hospital, trying to keep down his job, taking the children to school. And I said to him, don't rush into the hospital in the morning. I'm absolutely fine. I said, you take rest and I will see you Monday afternoon. So anyway, I'm in the hospital Sunday night. Lawrence is at home with the children, and I've gone to bed. Lawrence has gone to bed, and about 3 o'clock in the morning, God woke Lawrence up. And the words that God gave Lawrence was, she is ill, but not unto death. And this really troubled Lawrence, and he really wanted to get to the hospital as quick as he could so he could tell me what God had showed him. Anyway, he took the children to school, and I'm not expecting him till the late afternoon. Well, 8 o'clock that morning, my consultant came to my bedside with the nurse, And he said, Kim, we're really sorry to tell you, but you have terminal cancer. And we have taken biopsies and we're giving you 3 to 6 months to live. And I don't think I actually took the information in. My cancer was, I was stage 3, just going into stage 4. And even the doctor was shocked. He really couldn't believe that the cancer had taken hold like it had in such a short space of time. So I said, well, that's fine. And I really wasn't listening after that point. And I got up off the bed and I started to go out of the ward and down the corridor. And all I wanted to do was go in. And I had drips and catheters and trolleys of stuff that they're ploughing into me. And I'm trying to make my way down the corridor. And I was hell-bent. Dressing gown, trolley, I was going home. That was it. I'm off. And just as I turned at the bottom of the corridor that led to the ward, you had to turn to the right, and then there was the doors leading out of the ward. And just as I turned that corner, smack bang into Lawrence, and it was about 9 o'clock in the morning, and I was shocked, and I just broke down in his arms. But unbeknown to me, the consultant and the nurse was hot on my tail because they knew I hadn't taken the news very good, and they couldn't understand while I was leaving the hot, you know, making my way to the entrance out. So then they explained it to Lawrence, and they took us back to the bed and they sat us down, and Lawrence listened to everything they had to say, and then Lawrence looked round and he said, actually God woke me in the middle of the night and told me she was ill, but not unto death. And they just looked at him and they said, no, she's got 3, maybe 6 months to live. And Lawrence said, no, God told me she was ill, but not unto death. Well, yeah, that was it then. He signed me out of the hospital and packed up our stuff, all against the doctor's wishes. They wanted me to go. Actually, they offered us radiotherapy, and that may prolong my life 3 months. And Lawrence said, well, you know, she's already, I mean, I was already so worn down from all the drugs they'd given me. He said, there's no point in you doing that because she's not going to die. And you give her any more drugs and she'll be ill for those 3 months. So then really it's not going to profit her in any way. We're taking her home because she's not going to die. And then a whole series of events happened after that. So then we had social workers and we had, I don't know if you have them where you live, but they're like, I had a St. Peter's hospice nurse. So basically when you're too ill to continue to live at home, they take you into a hospice to die. And her name was Roz, and I'll never forget her. We're still best friends now, but even she had a tough time at the start believing what we were believing. And even though she was very caring, she didn't have the faith that we had. So anyway, weeks went by, and this verse of scripture, death and life are in the power of the tongue, and those that love it shall eat the fruit thereof, kept going over in our minds, because we did have a choice. We had life that God was giving me, or we had death, what the consultants were giving me. And it was very important that you surrounded yourself with positive thinking people. Lawrence wouldn't allow any negatives through the front door. He wouldn't allow people to try and break down the little bit of faith that I was clinging to. Because when you feel unwell, when you're really low, it's hard to hold on to that faith. But I had a husband that was so strong and so fully convinced that he'd heard from God that I was going to live. That if anybody, amen. Yes, amen. If anybody tried to throw a negative in, he would come back with the positive. God said she was ill. Yes, we can physically see she's ill. But he also said not unto death. And then the 3 months was up. And each day I was getting better and getting a little bit stronger. And I started to wee by myself, so they took away the catheter. And then other things started to happen, so they take away the drips. And I was starting to eat, so I didn't have to be force-fed by tubes. And each day it was like God was giving me that extra energy that I needed. And then we got to the 6 month part, and I'm starting to be able to walk down to the shop and back unaided. And the St. Peter's Hospice nurse came and she said, well, you know, because I said I feel so great. And she said, well, this usually happens with cancer patients. You know, they start to get better and then they pass away. And those were not words of encouragement, but I thought, well, I really don't feel that that's going to happen. I feel real great. You know, I really did feel great. And anyway, they wanted us to put our affairs in order, to make a will, to tell the children, and Lawrence wouldn't have any of it. And he asked them kindly, with a few beep, beep, beeps, to leave the house and to take their letters and their signatures and everything with them. And then we got to a year, and I am flying, I'm back to my normal self, and it became the biggest, awesomest testimony I think I've ever had. You know, it was that life and death were in the power of the tongue, and it really works. It really works. What we confess, you know, we do receive.
You still had 5 years of you having biopsies.
Yes, I still had to go every year and have biopsies for 5 years. In fact, it went on for about 10 years because this cancer was so rare. I really didn't mind being the guinea pig because I was well. And if it helped them to research it and to get more information on it, that was absolutely fine. But this was nearly 20 years ago, and I'm fighting fit today. I feel great. I had a checkup only, 6 months ago, and they still want to check up on me. They still can't believe I'm still here, so that's great.
The doctor wanted to know why you was even sent to him.
Yes, the last doctor I just saw couldn't even believe that I was sent to him. He said, because there's nothing wrong, you're absolutely fighting fit and healthy. And I said, well, it just seems every year they want to check up on me. So, so this death and life, I mean, that was my testimony, but I know that people have testimonies where God has showed them something and then they have a choice, you know. And every day we make choices, and are those choices life or are those choices death? We have to be so fully convinced of the word, and that the only way we can do that is to read the word and to put it on in our hearts and minds. Faith is not an easy thing when you don't believe, when you're not fully committed. We can all say, I'm a believer, I've got faith. But faith is actually a verb, and it connotes action. There has to be something that you step out on in faith. It's no good sitting there and saying, well, I'm believing for a job, and then you just sit there and do nothing. Well, I'm still believing for that job. Well, 6 months later, you can sit there and you can still be believing for the job. But if you haven't put yourself out there, if you haven't told God, hey, God, this is the job I'm looking for, and you get real specific, get real detailed, and then maybe you send a few emails out or you go and get a few interviews, you know, then nothing's going to happen. I have not yet known someone that have sat in their room and prayed for a job, and the actual boss has come and knocked at the door and said, I have a job for you. But if you do have a testimony, send it through to us, because I'd love to hear it. You know, faith is an action. We have to move out in our faith. Like we did when I was told about my diagnosis, it was choose you this day, life or death, and we continue to take the path that I was going to live. As we carry on, you can read through the whole of chapter 11. I mean, it is pretty awesome when you see how these people just trusted in God, and how the miracles that God performed and the outcomes of their situations. In Proverbs 18:21, it says, death and life are in the power of the tongue, and they that love it shall eat the fruit thereof. There is always, always going to be blessings when you go God's way. God has wonderful promises within his word written to us, and you claim them. When you speak that fitly spoken word, which is choosing life, when we speak the word, that's life. It breeds life into other people. It sets people on fire and makes them more on fire for God. See, if we don't speak, then people don't hear, then no blessings come. No miracles happen. When we were in India, you know, and ministering was made available, it was so pure because these people don't have cash to go and pay thousands of pounds to the hospital or hundreds of pounds for antibiotics. So their faith is so big because they have illnesses. I remember once that Lawrence ministered, he'd done lots of ministering, but to one young girl, and she lived in a village, and in this village, the whole village put together to pay for her kidney dialysis. And it was a strain on the village, you know, it was financial burden. And Lawrence went to the little village and ministering was made available, and this little girl came up and Lawrence ministered to her. And sometimes you don't, they say, it's done, I'm healed. And you may not see the results instantly, but then you return a couple of months later and it was in a completely different area. And Lawrence went to this other area and this guy stood up to give testimony. And he said, a man from the West came to our village and he ministered to our daughter and she is completely healed. She doesn't have kidney dialysis anymore and there's more finances within the village and we praise God. We thank God for this man's life. And then all of a sudden they pointed at Lawrence, and as they pointed at Lawrence, he's looking behind to see if it was somebody behind him. And they went, no, uncle, it's you. You ministered. You know, so it's not, yeah, and there's hundreds. But see, again, it was an action. You know, Lawrence spoke it into being that you command the healing because by his stripes you were healed. Past tense. See, you can be healed right now. It's not that we have to sit there and wait. If you're not feeling so good right now, go to God. Say, God, I thank you. By his stripes, I was healed. I am healed. I claim this healing. It is my right to claim this healing in the name of Jesus Christ. I choose life. And I'll tell you what, God will bring that upon you as long as you continue to keep that faith and keep looking to him in every situation. Right. I'm not actually reading all from this syllabus. I'm just taking a few. But in Hebrews 4:12, it says, for the word of God is quick and powerful, and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing of soul, of spirit, and the joints and the marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and the intents of heart. See, the word of God cuts through all the muck and the mire that the world puts in our brains. Oh, well, I'm not sure that healing really works. Oh, well, you know, you can pray, but I think it's God's wish that I'm ill. See, all this is rubbish, but people get these thoughts and then they start to believe them. So when they're sick, well, you know, God wishes me to be ill. I know of churches that believe this stuff and it's not true. You know, God sent his only begotten son so that we can live that life and live it more abundant, to be in health, to be prosperous and to live a life which is more than abundant. Is sickness living a life being more than abundant? No, it's not. So it's not God's desire. In fact, it's the God of this world's desire that we are sick, that we don't have testimonies, that we choose death and not life. But we really have to focus on the living God, the God that forsook his only begotten son so that we could have a life which is more than abundant, so that we can now, today, stand with Christ in us, the hope of glory. So, that word of God is quick and powerful, and it's living, and it's a discerner of our thoughts. It stops us from feeling foggy and cloudy in our minds. It keeps us sharp. Psalms 147, verse 15. He sendeth forth his commandment upon the earth. His word runneth very swiftly. See, the word, it's the word. We have to have the word of God. We can't do it without the word of God, because the word of God helps build our faith. When we read, like in Hebrews, of all those guys that walked by faith, Sarah, who was too old, maybe have, well, in today's day and time, you know, having a baby at 100, whew, mega. It's not for me. I'm not believing for that. I'm thankful
it'd
for just...
It would be an immaculate conception.
I'm just enjoying the grandchildren. But she really desired a child, and God still made it possible at 100. So I know that Lawrence ministered to a lady that was so desperate for a child, and she was almost in her 50s. And we were at a conference in Atlanta, and she come up to Lawrence and she said, "You done this to me." And she was about 8 months pregnant, and I'm thinking, he done it? No, he ministered to her. After all the time she tried IVF and done other sorts of things, she never got pregnant. And do you know what? Lawrence ministered to her and asked for her to conceive. And in the same sentence, he said, "You're going to have a little boy, and he's going to be healthy." And anyway, I think she was about 5 months into the pregnancy, and they thought that she was going to lose the baby. And her husband said, "No. The man of God said you were going to give birth to a little boy and he was going to be healthy. So we don't believe what the doctors say." Again, death and life are in the power of the tongue. Proverbs chapter 12. And in verse 13, the wicked is snared by the transgression of his lips. See, we hold ourselves back when we speak the negatives. We hold ourselves from reaping the blessings from God just by thinking what the world says instead of thinking what the word says. "But the just shall come out of trouble. A man shall be satisfied with good by the fruit of his mouth, and the recompense of a man's hands shall be rendered unto him." See, sometimes we have to work. We have to physically get in there to work with people, or we have to work with our hands to get rewarded. I know that Britt Helwig in Norway over the weekend, she laboured with her hands night and day, preparing food, keeping the house, you know, absolutely phenomenal, the pair of them. Such a great dynamic team working together. And she really got rewarded for her labours of love. Because, see, it's God that gives us the blessings. The way of a fool, this is in verse 15 of Proverbs 12, the way of a fool is right in his own eyes, but he that hearkeneth unto counsel is wise. You know, sometimes we think we're right, when really we're dead wrong. And that's another thing that God loves, is a meek and humble heart. You know, I'm perfect, so I don't have that problem. But, no, I'm not. But meek and humble, you know, we humble ourselves before God first. And he is the awesome God that rewards us. When we do things in secret, he rewards us openly. The things that we've done in our lives should be to the praise and the glory of him, because there's no other God like him on the face of the earth, and no other God that have given up his son Jesus Christ, so that we can all have a life which is eternal. And as we continue to look to him in every situation, as we continue to step out in faith, which connotes an action, you know, we follow through with it, and we speak those fitly spoken words, then cleans out the muck and the mire, brings the blessings, brings deliverance to people's lives, and then people get to know who God is. They get to know who God is by the way that you live. You know, people usually say that they judge a book by the cover, or you sort of like read someone first, try to get to know them before you'll actually listen to what they say. But when you've got that Christ in you and you're shining, people see that there's something different. And they want to know. They truly want to know. I want to jump down. Proverbs 18, and in verse 7 it says, "A fool's mouth is his destruction, and his lips are the snare of his soul. The words of a talebearer, or a gossip, or a busybody, are as wounds. They go down into the innermost parts of the belly." See, these are the things that we don't do. Because when we have that faith, sometimes it's very easy to get entrapped into what the world's saying, and that we fall in line when people say, "Oh, well, actually, we have a lady at work," and you can't dare say to her, "How are you today?" Because she's just full of doom and gloom. So I always say, "Wow, you look amazing today," and I walk off. I don't even give her the opportunity to say, "Well, I don't feel well today." I just say, "Wow, you look amazing," and carry on. Because some people thrive on the negativity. Some people thrive on their illnesses. But we really got to get in there and show them there's a better way. There really is a better way. And it's not being a busybody. It's not being a talebearer. It's not being a gossip. You know, those things can actually contaminate your own thinking. They can make you feel rubbish. The Word of God says that the Word of God is quick and powerful. So if you're trying to mix the two, it's not going to work. So I say to you this day, choose life, and you see the blessings of God come unto you. Proverbs chapter 10, "The mouth of the just bringeth forth wisdom." Verse 32, "The lips of the righteous know what is acceptable." And Proverbs chapter 11, verse 30, "The fruit of the righteousness is a tree of life, and he that winneth souls is wise." When we speak that word, it touches people's hearts and it wins souls. You know, when you speak that fitly spoken word and you ask God what to speak, because see, we may think we know what someone's going through, but it's no good guessing. Jesus Christ didn't guess that day when he said, "He that's without sin cast the first stone." You could see doodling. He was asking God, "God, what do I do in this situation?" And that's the same with us. When we minister to people, we don't assume. I know someone once that because he recognized the person was blind, they ministered to his blindness. But he didn't want ministering to for that. He wanted his child ministered to, because he believed if his child was healed, he would be healed also. So again, we can't assume that people, just because what you see is what you assume that they want. No, you ask them, or you ask God, unless they come to you and tell you, "Lawrence, this is my problem, would you minister to me?" That's good. But you can't assume somebody wants something. So you ask God what they need. And you'll be amazed how God will come through and show you. He'll cut through the muck and the mire, and that person will get instant deliverance. Because God knows. You know, people are praying to God, they're asking for deliverance. He knows what they need, more so than we do. Sometimes we know what we ought to say, but we don't say it. Again, that could be a fear issue. You know, we don't have to have fear when we're ministering to people, when we're talking to people. Because fear comes from the devil. So we never put ourselves in a situation where we're afraid to speak either. You know, I remember Lawrence saying, you know, "I'm going to speak whether it's favourable or unfavourable." Because see, we're not there to pussyfoot with people's emotions and feelings. You know, if God wants something said, then you say it. You know, and God will take care of people's hearts. Because sometimes you have to be a little harder with people. You know, some people need it. But then there's times when we're soft and we're tender and we're loving. But God shows us all what we need when delivering the Word of God and when ministering healing. What is in your heart will come out of your mouth. So it's important that we feed the new man, that Christ in you. We don't feed the old man with the negativity of the world and the five senses. So read your word, guys, because that's feeding that inner man. It's feeding that new man, and it's giving you life, not destruction. And I want to finish off in Galatians chapter 3, and in verse 13 it says, "I have been redeemed from the curse of the law." See, curse of the law. If you don't, if you're in poverty, if you don't have wealth, if you're in sickness and you want health, then you have to be redeemed from the curse of the law. You go to God with a pure and humble heart and say, okay, God, I'm yours. I am all yours, right? I want to be healthy. I want to be wealthy. I want to be wise. I want to be mentally sound. Show me the path to walk on. Show me where to go, God. How do I get the deliverance in my life? Because I really don't know all the needs of the people that's going to hear this teaching. I just know that God wanted this talked, God wanted this spoken, and it's going to touch people's hearts out there. So whatever it is that's going on in your life, the first port of call is you go to God. You give your desires. You get real detailed in what you want. And then you ask God to make it come to pass. Health. You can be instantly healed right now. You go to God. Poverty. If you've got the debts stacking up, I've seen those debts eradicated overnight. But again, you've got to go to God. It's no good going to a man. You can go to the bank and you can pay that back for the next 20 years if you want to. But God's bank, he doesn't want you to repay it. You go to him. You tell him what your needs and your problems are before you share it with anyone else. And you see God come through in a mighty, mighty way. We have been redeemed from the curse of the law. We don't live under that curse anymore. We have two commandments. Well, they're not even commandments. You love God, you love your neighbour. That's the end of the story. Love God and he'll come through. And you continue to walk with a humble heart and you see the miracles that God will perform in your life this week. So that's what I wanted to share.
Well, that's just real wonderful, hot word. And there was one of the things that we taught in the seminar also, which just comes to mind as you're sharing about death and life, is that for many years I thought Romans 8:1, where it says there is therefore now no condemnation to them that are in Christ, I thought that was for when I broke fellowship. Oh, I don't have to condemn myself, you know, because it's been taken care of. But the condemnation that's talking about is the condemnation that came in at the fall of Adam and Eve. When they fell, then death began to reign, right? Judgment, sin, sickness, everything came in at the fall of Adam and Eve. Because if you read the next verse, it says, for the law of the Spirit of life has made us free from the law of sin and death. So when Adam and Eve fell, the law and sin and death entered into the world. But when Jesus Christ accomplished everything, now we have the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus. So when we kind of, what we activate in our life, are we activating the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus by confessing the promises of God, by knowing who we are in Christ, by speaking the word of God and the words from God, because we know that faith comes by hearing, hearing the word, right? Words of God or the word from God, because God puts words in our heart and mouth for the needs of the time. So when we speak the things of this world, then what we do, we activate the law of sin and death again. And we're not under that, because Jesus Christ has redeemed us from the curse of the law. And all those blessings that are in Deuteronomy 28, they're ours. When we listen to observe to do, according to all that God is showing us today in our day and time, then we will start to manifest these blessings. So that Romans 8:1-2 is a very powerful record, and it tells you about the law. So you've got the law of sin and death, you've got the law of the life of the Spirit of Christ Jesus, and then it also mentions the law of Moses. So when you're reading the law, what law is it talking about? And what law are you activating? Because really, we are under the law of the life of the Spirit in Christ Jesus, but our words can deactivate that if we're talking the words of the world. So that's something I've seen in there, and obviously that's got to be worked more, but I really see the heart of that, and it really just opened up my eyes, so that what we say is so powerful. Thanks for sharing that, Kim, because it really blessed me so much, and very powerful, and God is, you know, really working in you. And it just encourages us just to really go to God much more. So if anyone's got anything they want to add to that or share, then please do. I'd just like to introduce Elisa Demers. Is that correct? She's joined us on Skype Fellowship from USA. And also Kim Hiley in St. Helens. He's with us tonight. So it was a real blessing. This little Skype Fellowship is growing. So if you want to join us, please join in, and you can also share if there's anything God's working in your heart you want to share, then just let us know ahead of time and then we'll open up that door for you to share. So there's a platform also to share what God's working in your life. It's not about us speaking all the time, because God works in all of us. So thank you for joining fellowship. And